This is your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing this program on Wednesday evening, September 13th. For those of you who may be landlords or tenants, I want to give you our toll-free number, and you can call in, ask questions, make comments, etc. But the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. It's my pleasure. The topic, by the way, of course, is landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues. It's my pleasure to have back as guests on the program landlord-tenant attorneys Jessica Chylik. Her name is spelled C-H-Y-L-I-K. She has an office in San Francisco. And Salvatore Timpano, I'll spell that last name for you also, T-I-M-P-A-N-O, who also has an office in San Francisco. And they're here to talk with you if you have questions. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program for national distribution. So, for those of you who may have questions or comments, please, if you're listening to the live program, which is on this Wednesday evening, September 13th, don't hesitate to call 866-798-8255. Jessica and Sal, great to have you back.
Thank you for having us back again.
Wonderful to have you here, really. I understand in San Francisco that there is a real problem about master tenants. In other words, a landlord rents to a tenant. That tenant, to help him or her pay the rent, sublets to someone, hopefully enough that, I guess, some of these master tenants wants to get enough rent from a subtenant so the master tenant doesn't have to fork out any money. What's the problem here?
Well, it's illegal for them not to pay any. They've got to pay their fair share.
Oh
yeah, Chuck. They've got to pay their fair share. But it's tempting to some master tenants to charge a little bit more because they can. And when they do that, they are they're kind of gouging the subtenants, and they're doing so in violation of the rent ordinance.
Are they?
Oh yeah, they have to pay their portion either proportion by square foot. That's one way they can do it, or it can be done in some other ways. But they've got to pay their fair share, and because some of the master tenants have long-term tenancies, the rents are very low, and yet the market is willing to pay them a lot for a small space.
Of course.
And so they're in a position where they could take advantage of subtenants. And if they do, they're in violation of the rent ordinance. And if it's discovered, they're going to have to give all the extra money back.
Back to the subtenant,
yes.
Let me ask you to clarify this. I understand that the rent ordinance applies to buildings that were built prior to and up to and including 1979. Am I right on that?
That's correct.
But when you talk about violation of the rent ordinance, if a landlord owns a piece of property that was built after that and has a master tenant, does the rent ordinance apply there also?
No, it doesn't apply there. Regular state law applies.
What's the problem there, if any? If a master tenant is gouging the subtenant, is there any problem there?
One problem that could exist there is that the landlord, the property owner, probably will not like that because it's their unit and they're renting it out to the master tenant, not for the master tenant's income-producing schemes, but as a home. So at that point, the landlord could raise the rent to the master tenant, taking away that incentive to overcharge the subtenant.
Mm-hmm. Well, or they may, instead of raising the rent, they may evict them because you're not under rent control, the landlord can evict for any reason or no reason as long as it's not something bad like retaliation, discrimination, harassment.
Using San Francisco as the example, since both of you are San Francisco attorneys, if there is a written lease between the landlord and the tenant, and let's say this is a non-rent ordinance property, something built after 1979, what's the situation there? Isn't there a provision, frankly, in the written leases that we have that master tenant must get approval of the landlord to be able to sublet?
That would be a legal provision, but not all leases are going to contain that provision.
I see.
But if it did contain it, that would be a valid provision to have, whether it's in rent control or out of rent control, to have the landlord consent to additional occupants.
How bad is the situation with the master tenants? What if the master tenant, however, wants to remove the subtenant? What are the problems there? Assuming that, we started off with, let's say the subtenant isn't paying. What's the situation there, Jessica?
If we're still talking about our unit that's not under any kind of rent or eviction control, then the master tenant has the ability to do that, as the landlord would have toward them. However, if we're talking about a unit that's under rent control or a single-family home or condo that's not under rent control but is still under the eviction controls of the rent ordinance, then you have the listed 15 just causes. And, the master tenant is bound by that with their subtenant if it's a newer subtenancy. If it's one from, I think it's 1998, if it's older than that, then it doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
But the master tenant steps into the shoes of the landlord as to their subtenant, and so they have the same constraints unless they've been able to disclose a waiver of that ahead of time. There's some rules about that as well.
What you are talking about with regard to rent control in San Francisco, there are other major cities throughout California that have rent control, and of course your legal rights. We record the first half hour, and we send it out, KLW sends it out to a number of stations in California that will air the half hour next week. We are on the Internet, of course, which is national, but we're talking, right now about California law. What you've been talking about so far, both the rent ordinance provisions and the non-rent ordinance provisions, are they pretty similar throughout California, the different rent-controlled cities that have rent control, or are they all up and down and there's no consistency between San Francisco and, let's say, Santa Monica or wherever it might be?
I've done a little bit in Oakland, and it's similar, but it's not the same. It's similar that Berkeley has one.
Yeah.
Further south, Santa Monica has a rent control ordinance. That's a pretty famous one down there. Los Angeles has some parts, I believe. Mm-hmm. But the goal is all the same, to keep affordable housing within the city, to keep the housing there. But they all have different start dates. They've got some different provisions. Even the way the judiciary handles disputes is different as well.
Depending on the county.
Yeah, it probably, as a specialist in San Francisco, I'd be careful to go into another jurisdiction because I got to learn it.
Sure.
My specialty here might spill over and I might make an assumption and make errors, thinking, well, it should be this way.
Are you thinking about malpractice, are you, by any chance?
We don't want that.
let me give you everybody, if you're listening to the live program, and again, we're doing this on Wednesday evening, September 13th. It's toll-free number 866-798-8255. Please join us with your landlord or a tenant. Join us with your question, your comment, your concern, whatever it may be. 866-798-8255. We'll take the first call in just a minute. What about security deposits? If a master tenant, as we've been talking about, sublets, is the master tenant required under any law to get from the subtenant a security deposit?
Not required to get it, but they can.
Okay, let's say they can get it. What is the master tenant supposed to do with that money? Go out and have a nice several dinners? Or what are you supposed to do with that?
That would be nice.
No. No, not at all. There's limits that are set in state law about how much security you can collect for an unfurnished apartment or room. Uh-huh. If you're subletting a room, it's twice the monthly rent. For a furnished place, it's three times. And the master tenant or the landlord, in collecting security deposits, are supposed to keep those in a bank account so that if
like a trust account.
Right. Or, I mean, they can keep it, like, in their savings account or whatever, but they're not supposed to spend it, is the point.
Yeah, okay, that's supposed to be there during the course of the tenancy, whether it's whether it's the landlord master tenant tenancy, or if the master tenant did the same thing with the subtenant, that master tenant has to keep that in a bank account.
That's right.
Not go and have all those nice dinners. Huh?
No nice dinners.
Oh, my God.
Master tenants do like to use it for things like, you know, paying utilities or, you know, other, you know, things for the unit.
But that's verbosan.
That's not allowed.
Not allowed. Okay, well, let's take a call now. Again, the toll-free number, everyone, 866-798-8255. Philip, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I'm moving back to my house in Bernal Heights after years of renting it out, and finally my first mortgage paid off so I can finally afford to live there after a long break. I'm looking at doing Airbnb to help pay my costs because I'm so concerned about getting, you know, housemates, renters, and getting foisted by that whole system. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to get housemates if I'd choose that, but I'm just so concerned. My previous research showed that I'd be subject to rent control and all that by subdividing my what was rented as a single family house into subunits or having a couple of housemates. Is that correct?
Philip, let me ask you this. You would like to have two different subtenants in your home.
I live there. Sorry.
And you will live there. What are you thinking, just roughly, if you could tell us this, what are you thinking about what kind of rent you would be charging each of them?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I guess market or slightly less.
Well, what do you think that is?
Gosh, I haven't done research. I guess it'd be like, you know, I'd be thinking like $1,200 a room, but I guess that might even be low in this current market.
Well, let me get some comments. You are very concerned about this. You're not quite sure what you're going to do. You have, as I see it, you're going to make this a business, and I think you have to approach it as a business. And I think if you have not done this before, if I may suggest this to you, I think you really need to call the lawyer referral service for the San Francisco Bar, since you're going to be living in San Francisco, and sit down with a landlord-tenant attorney, an attorney who actually represents landlords, and get some basic information. A half an hour consultation may be very helpful, but let me get some comments for you from my guests.
Okay.
So turn your radio back up, hang up, and turn your radio back up so you can get an answer.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Go ahead.
Well, if Philip is going to be renting bedrooms in his house, is what I gathered from that, if he rents to one person, he may be accepted from the rent control ordinance, because there is a state law provision that says that if an owner rents to only one tenant, then then they're considered a lodger. And there's a provision in the San Francisco rent ordinance that says that if you are an owner living in a unit with one tenant that is considered a lodger under state law, it's not under rent control.
Really?
So, yeah, that's correct.
But if he rents
to two, then it's considered he's running a boarding house, and he has to follow the rent control rules.
Oh, my. Oh, boy, that's something.
That's right.
What I'd like to do is we'll get back and talk a little bit more about him. All right, everybody, we're only going to take a minute here, but as you know, this is the September campaign for KELW. And if you value non-commercial KELW public radio, as I do, this is real public radio, in my opinion. And I've been in the public radio business for a long time, if you are familiar with my program. I've been doing this program for 33 years. If you value the news and programs presented by the station's news staff and producers and what my program, Your Legal Rights, brings to you every week, is, and also Call a Lawyer Night each month when you have a chance to talk with lawyers off the air about your problems, please think about making a contribution to the station. You know, your support makes it possible. That's what this station is all about. There are no commercials. No commercials. So if you're not yet a member, or you feel that you might want to be even more gracious as a member, join your fellow listeners in keeping local public radio strong. It's 800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, or www.klw.org, and click on Donate. Joanne, any comments briefly?
You can make your contribution online at kalw.org, kalw.org. Our goal for this hour of Your Legal Rights is six. That's six of you calling our pledge line at 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
All right, let's come. Any other comments for Philip that we didn't even cover?
Well, there's provisions in the rent ordinance that allow a owner roommate to avoid evictions through just cause.
Yeah.
Jessica, do you know if that applies in a roommate situation with more than with two or three roommates? I think it does.
I believe it does.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
So what that means
give
is
us
that
a simple example.
If the landlord is having problems, or you know, just doesn't want to have the roommate, they can serve him an eviction notice, but they have to serve him an eviction notice. They don't need to comply or have a just cause by the rent ordinance.
I see.
Because it's the owner that the owner lives with them in their own home.
I see.
So they're able to evict without one of the evict under state law with respect to the cause. You know,
Philip, let me come back to you again and repeat what my concern was. I've been a consumer advocate for a long time as a deputy DA with San Mateo County. I've been a lawyer a lot longer than that, as a civil attorney. And my feeling in that you want to be essentially in a business. You as the landlord are going to rent to either one or two people. I really feel it's worth it for you to contact lawyer referral. And a little bit later in the program, I'll give the phone number for the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar. For a half an hour consultation, you'll spend $35. And if you don't believe that that's worth it, then you better not even get into the business, because
you're right,
it's a great investment, and you may even need more time and to spend more time doing that. But I highly recommend it to you, because if you try to be too cheap on becoming a landlord, you're going to regret it. You're really going to regret it. Did you have something, Jessica?
Well, I think he also mentioned that he was considering Airbnb, and there are a lot of local San Francisco laws about how owners can do that. They have to, you know, file a fictitious business license, and they have to pay taxes, and there's limitations on how much they can do that. So, in this case, I strongly would advocate preventative lawyering.
Mm-hmm.
Go get the information ahead of time before you find yourself in the soup.
I think you really have to do that, Philip. Really,
good point, Jessica.
Think very seriously about doing that. Celine, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. I didn't pay rent for 1 month a few months ago, and then I got a 3-day notice, and then after that I did pay the rent, and the landlord has subsequently been cashing the rent checks, but then I may not pay rent again, you know, this month or another month. So will he have to send me, give me another 3-day notice before he can legally start the eviction process?
Yes. The first eviction notice was withdrawn or canceled after your rent was accepted. So now you would need a fresh 3-day notice.
Which would be a 3-day notice to either pay
or
rent quit.
Or quit.
And if you don't pay or quit, then, and if she doesn't move out, then he can bring, an unlawful detainer action against you, yeah. Celine. So
and then I have the option to try and fight that in court, even if it's under the premise of not paying rent, if I feel that there's a strong reason why I should not be paying rent anymore. Do you think that I have an option to be able to fight that in court?
There are defenses to an non-payment of rent unlawful detainer. Whether they'll apply to you or not, I don't know, but there are defenses, and you would be able to use those if they apply.
Is there anything you can recommend, like any processes that I could get started on to prepare myself in case we end up going that route all the way?
Well, what Chuck says is to, if you see that you're not going to be able to pay the rent, perhaps call the lawyer referral service and get a consult. You know, the one question is going to be why. And I don't know if you want to say that on the radio, but one question is going to be, why can't you pay the rent, or why aren't you willing to pay the rent?
Celine, I will give in a few minutes the phone number for the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service.
Well, I've actually met with them before, and because my case is so incredibly complicated, it seems like we're going to have to end up going to trial, you know, and so therefore, you know, I am going to have to retain an attorney, but just finding someone that wants to take the case because it's so complicated, you know, is the place I'm stuck at that I can't get past yet.
Well, let me suggest this, Celine. You're saying it's so complicated. On the other hand, unless you have had a problem and not gotten what you felt was adequate legal advice before when you went to lawyer referral, I think it's really wise to think about spending $35. I mean, this is something that is available throughout the state of California. Every county has some form of lawyer referral service through the Bar Association. And so I think it would be worth it for you, even though you think this is terribly complicated, to try to get some advice from an attorney. If you feel you are not going to be able to make the rent, find out essentially now what road you may want to take. So I thank you very much for calling, and I wish you good luck on this. We're going to take another call right now, Celine. All right, we've got Carrie. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I was calling because I am a master tenant in a non-rent-controlled apartment, and we're renting out a room. And I'm wondering if you can include, we in the past, and I want to make sure this is legit going forward, we include in what we rent the room out for the bills as well. Like, you know, we're very consistent with PG&E, with, you know, cable, internet, all of those things. Is that okay to fold into one rent payment to avoid, you know, pay me a check for this or a little bit for that? And then with regard to the non-rent controlled status, assuming or hopefully our rent won't get raised, but if it does, can I then, you know, pass that on in the, you know, even distribution between the roommates to the new roommate? And I'll take my answer off the air so I can hear clear, if that's okay.
But don't go yet, Carrie. I want to make sure that both Jessica and Sal understand what you're asking. Do you feel
I got it.
You got it. You got, all right. Turn the radio back on and get the
Thank
answer
you.
on the air.
Appreciate
Carrie.
It. Love the show, and I'm a sustaining member.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling.
All right. Let me just say a couple of
Jessica,
things.
Jessica, you start.
Okay, go ahead. You go.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start at the top end with the rent and including in the amount of rent costs for things like PG&E, mm-hmm. Wi-Fi, you know, those sorts of things that you may be providing and that are in your name as the master tenant. That is perfectly acceptable to do. Okay. Rather than having them have a rent and then, you know, splitting each bill as it comes in. Mm-hmm. That is perfectly acceptable to do. The only thing that I have in my head is that occasionally I've had problems with, you know, I've had clients with problems where the subtenant starts using a lot of a utility, whether it be electricity or water.
More than that person's, if you have the landlord, or pardon me, if you have the master tenant, and then you have the subtenant, if the subtenant is using more of the utility than the master tenant, that's the problem.
Right. You know, so for example, yeah. you know, all is going well until winter and the subtenant gets a space heater for their room, you know, and the master.
How awful
you
to
know,
do.
And the master tenant, its bill with PG&E goes up, but they can't raise what they're doing with the subtenant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
So the other issue was what to do if the landlord serves the master tenant with a rent increase. Mm-hmm. Well, what to do in that instance is to serve your own rent increase on your subtenant,
and it can be
it should be done right away.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what the percentage of the rent is, will determine how many days notice.
Mm-hmm.
So because the master tenant doesn't know when they're going to get a rent increase, they might not be able to have their rent increase to the subtenant start exactly the same month their rent increase. And that's just part of being a master tenant. There's nothing you can do about that. But they should be ready to get out a rent increase fairly quickly so that it could take place maybe a month after, you know, and depending on the percentage of the rent increase will determine how much, you know, whether they get, how much time they have to give them to their subtenant.
Well, Carrie, I wish you luck again. As I say, I feel the service that's available to lawyer referral wherever you are in the state of California, if you have some problems, whatever it may be, whether it's landlord-tenant, whether it's employment law, whether it's family law, I think it's a great way to start so that it's much better than just worrying about it and if there are problems, not moving forward, but waiting until it's much worse before you get the help of a lawyer. So I suggest you might want to consider that. We are going to take, I guess we don't have one more question here. What I want to do, as I mentioned to you, is here is the phone number for the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. It's 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you call them during normal business hours, what they will do is they will, and you tell them, I want an attorney who represents tenants, or I want an attorney who represents landlords, I'm a master tenant, etc., and they'll do their best to find someone who's experienced. There are many, many attorneys who are very competent to do this. One of the things that I want to tell you, which is my goal, frankly, is not to find business for attorneys, even though I'm an attorney. There's no question about it. My goal, I've been a consumer advocate for many, many years, and my goal is to try to help you understand and educate you in the terms of what's available to you. As, you know, as when you think that Joanne and I are doing this program together, we are. Joanne is the announcer operator. I'm the host of this program. So what I'm trying to do is to get you headed on the right direction. I'm not looking to try to get work for attorneys, believe it or not. And I don't need to do that. What I need to do, my goal is consumer protection and education. All right, everybody, let me just mention to you again the toll-free number for the program in case you would like to call in and speak to my guests. Again, we are doing this program live on Wednesday evening. This is September 13th at the toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Let me give a little bit of information, and then I want to tell you something that Joanne and I will tell you in just a minute. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar Association, it's 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. 1616. If you are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. That's 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. I want to let you know that with just a minor exception, nearly every county in California has a lawyer referral service through the Bar Association. And you can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area of law that you're having a problem with, set you up for a half an hour consultation. And with minor exception, you will pay somewhere between $25 to $35 for a consultation with a lawyer. Now, that money does not go to the lawyer. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep it going. It is a great public service, and so something that I think is a great way for you to try to make something work for you if you're having a problem. Again, we are in the September campaign for KLW, the station who I love. I have been doing this program here, believe it or not, for about 27 years.
Wow.
I'm as old as Methuselah, whatever. But if you value this non-commercial KALW public radio station that I think is 76 years of age, it was purchased or obtained by the San Francisco School District all those years ago. If you value the news and programs presented by the station's news staff and producers and what my program brings to you every week to try to educate you about the law, both what your rights and obligations may be, and also the Call a Lawyer Night each month, please make a contribution to the station, because this is what keeps this station going. There are no commercial supporters here. This is non-commercial. So every contribution, every person who gets involved makes a difference. Now, one of the things is 1-800-525-9917, which is the magic number, or go to the website, www.klw.org, click on donate. One of the things that I think you might find interesting, and I have, because I bought this book for my wife, and it's available to you if you want to pledge $120 to KLW. Al Franken, who's a senator, who's now been a senator for, I think, nearly 8 years or so, his book is Giant of the Senate by Al Franken, F-R-A-N-K-E-N. It's a marvelous book. This is a guy, in case you're not familiar with him, who was on Saturday Night Live. He's a writer initially, then on air for a number of years. Let me tell you, read something to you by Louise Edrich of the New York Times. Quote, flips the classic born in a shack rise to political office tale on its end. I skipped meals to read this book. Also unusual, because every page was funny. It made me deliriously happy, end quote. So my thought on this for you, Al Franken's Giant of the Senate, if you are interested in the law and you're looking for something that might also be entertaining, this is a great book. So for $120, if you like this, you can get this by calling 1-800-525-9917 or going to the website www.klw.org and click on donate and join. What other thoughts do you have?
If $120 is too much to pay all at once, become a sustaining member of KALW at the $10 a month level. And that's $10 a month, $120, and we'll send you the new Al Franken book, 800-525-9917, or online, kalw.org.
All right, everybody, I want to invite you again. This is our special landlord-tenant program that we want to make good for you in terms of if you have, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, if you have problems, if you're faced with a tenant who won't pay the rent, if you're a tenant who feels that your landlord is, let's say, taking advantage of you, please join us. Our toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Let me tell you who my guests are. They are really very experienced attorneys in landlord-tenant law. Salvatore Timpano, His office is in San Francisco, and Jessica Chilik, her office also is in San Francisco. They have been great friends of this program, both on the air as well as when we do our Call a Lawyer Night, which is usually the fourth Wednesday of the month, and that's what we're going to do this month on September 27th. We will do Call a Lawyer Night, and it's the same magic number, in case you didn't get that magic number. It's 1-800-525-9917, which also we use for Call a Lawyer Night. Tonight we're using it for our September campaign to keep this station going as best we can. So if you are a tenant or a landlord and you have some questions or comments or concerns about the law, join us, because this is how we all learn. And if you're having a problem, believe it or not, probably a lot of other people are having a problem, similar problem, whether you're a landlord or a tenant. So the toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And don't be bashful. Don't be bashful. And please, if you would, don't wait until the last 10 minutes of the program, because then we're gone. We're gone. All right. Let me also mention to you, yeah, we've got a couple of people who want to talk to both of you. And again, I am highly motivated to tell you, if you have a problem, whether you are a tenant or a landlord, and you wonder, what should I do? I think it makes a lot of sense for you as a first step to contact, whether you're in San Francisco or somewhere else in California, since this program is available beyond San Francisco and the Bay Area, to contact your local Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and start with getting that information from an attorney for half an hour. It's a great way to start. All right, we've got Kate in Oakland. Kate, welcome to the program.
Chuck, thank you for the show. I listen sure. all the time. I have for many years.
Well, good, Kate. Nice to hear from you.
Hi, I live in Oakland, California. I am in a rent-controlled one-bedroom apartment. I've been here since 1999. And I'm living by myself here the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like my boyfriend to move in with me.
Mm.
And I know I need to ask my landlord I'm in a fourplex, and he lives in the building also.
Your boyfriend lives in the building? Oh, no,
yes.
No, the landlord does.
The landlord
okay.
lives
right.
in the building
okay.
in one of the four units.
All right.
And I'm just curious, I think this may be state law as opposed to local law, but I'm just curious whether he can simply say no. I think he would like me out of the building because my rent is so low, but otherwise
Kate,
I'm a tenant.
Kate, if you don't mind, what is your monthly rent? How much?
Just under $1,300.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For a one-bedroom in Oakland, what's the going rate there now, do you know, for a one-bedroom?
Well, I'm fairly central near Lake Merritt. It's gone sky-high in recent years. I'm going to guess minimum of
$2,500. Wow. Okay. So you would like your boyfriend. You're under rent control.
Correct.
And you believe that your landlord won't permit you to do this?
No, I haven't asked. I'm just wondering if he can simply say no for no reason.
Oh, let me see if we can get some comments. Sal, would you start?
Sure.
Stay on the line, Kate.
Okay.
Hi, Kate. So,
hi.
I believe Oakland is the same as San Francisco in this regard, and you know, landlord can't unreasonably deny you to live with somebody you want to live with. In this case, it's your boyfriend. You have a one-bedroom in San Francisco. The occupancy limits allow two people in a one-bedroom, so you're not going to be beyond the occupancy limits. I think it's the same for Oakland. You are under rent control, so you might as well call your Oakland rent board and pose this question to them.
Okay.
And I think the answer you're going to get is you're allowed to bring your boyfriend in. If you have a written lease that says you need to get your landlord's permission, then that's why you're doing it. Otherwise, if you don't have a written lease, you may not even have to ask for permission.
Okay.
Because your landlord lives in the building, it'd probably be a good idea to let him know what you're
going
to
do.
Sure, because he's going to see somebody going in
right.
and out.
Sure, who's this guy? Who's that male going
right.
in, going into
right.
your apartment there?
Yeah. And even if he didn't live there, you know, he or she, the landlord, does have an obligation to the other tenants to know who's in the building.
Sure,
in case anything happens, they, you know, got to know, an emergency, just there's other reasons. So you might want to, you know, tell the landlord.
So who should she call, did you say?
She should call the Oakland Rent Board.
The Rent Board.
Yeah, they'll have a hotline or phone line to call in and just pose the question to them to confirm that there's nothing in the rent ordinance that says that you have to, you know, get the landlord's permission, even if you don't have the requirement in a written lease.
Also,
I don't think there is, but
also, Kate, let me mention to you, since I'm trying to promote people getting aware of and using the lawyer referral service. For Alameda County Bar, there is a lawyer referral service. Let me give you that phone number in case you don't get a clear answer from the rent board. It's 510-302-2222. 510-302-2222.
Very good.
So I think, do what Sal says, and if it's not clear in terms of if you don't feel that comfortable but after you talk with the rent board, then do call the lawyer referral service.
Okay, if my landlord says no, do I have any recourse?
If your landlord says no, you're probably going to want to document that with a letter saying I tried to do this and you said no, and then you can make a complaint to your local rent ordinance. If that doesn't work, then you call the number for the lawyer referral service that Chuck gave you, and you would probably have a claim against your landlord for breaching your right to enjoyment of the unit.
Okay, very good.
So take the time to step by step, and hopefully that will give you the answer that hopefully you would like to have.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Okay, Kate, very nice to hear from you. Jessica, did you have something for you?
Oh, I just had a quick little comment that's for Kate and for others, but because Kate's tenancy is so long, there is a state law that says that tenants have the right to get a copy of their lease once a year.
Yeah.
So if you can't find your lease, you know, you can ask your landlord for a copy.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good one.
Good luck to you, Kate.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care now. All right. Our toll-free number again is 866-798-8255. Julie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Julie. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. My question is, I am a landlord of a single-family home. It was my permanent residence. I've rented to an individual who I believe has now put themselves in a position of being the master tenant and is subleasing to one, possibly two other people.
Is your home in San Francisco?
It is.
Okay, go ahead.
And so my question is, in the lease it does say that they need to have my consent for any additional roommates or any additional people to live there. So that's one thing that's been violated. But my question is, even if I... What do I do now? Like, if they were to move out, am I responsible to the people that they have now rented the home to?
Oh, very interesting. Well, are you saying that that your tenants are moving out, are planning to move out and rent it to someone else without your permission? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they haven't planned to move out yet, but I do know that they live in the home right now. They are renting one, possibly two rooms to other individuals. Mm. And I just don't know what position that puts me in should they decide at some point that they're no longer going to live there.
Good point. And do you have a written lease with these people?
Oh, we do, yeah.
Yeah, you do. And does it have a provision that says before you can sublet, you have to get my permission?
It does.
All right. Well, let me get some comments. And again, for you, Julie, since obviously you are, as a landlord, this is a business. And so you have to expect that there will be perhaps some legal expenses related to the business, but you want to face it as quickly as you can without having, a prolonged agony, which there can be. Jessica, what comments do you have for Julie?
Well, as far as them subleasing without letting you know, I think that that is a situation that potentially is what's considered curable, that, you know, you could do a notice to cure or quit, either remove the subtenants or give me the information about them for my approval and fall into that path. And if they comply, then I think you would be going forward on that basis.
The other thing I would add is whether that's done or not, if the master tenant moves out and leaves those subtenants there, those subtenants would become your tenants. They would step into the shoes of the master tenant with the exception of the rent. Mm-hmm. You would be able to raise, I'm assuming this is under rent control, you would be able to raise the rent to market value on those subtenants. If only one wanted to become the master tenant, then you can just offer it to one, and you would have the same situation where if that master tenant leaves, you can raise the rent on the remaining subtenant. But you would be able to raise the rent to market, and then if they don't pay it, then you treat them as any other non-paying, you know, tenant.
All right. Joanna and I want to take about a minute of your time before we take the next call. And, of course, this is the September campaign for non-commercial KLW Public Radio. I have been involved with my radio program here for, I would say, I think it's about 27 years or so, or maybe it's even 28. And I consider this a gem of a station, and I hope you do too. If you value this non-commercial station, KLW, and you value the kind of approach that the people who work here do, whether they're in the news or the news department or they're producers of other shows, or if my program has done you any good whatsoever, and I hope it has, your legal rights, or if Call a Lawyer Night has done you any good, please consider making a contribution. If you're already a member, consider, if you would, perhaps increasing your contribution. This station survives on your support. There are no commercials here. This is a non-commercial station. Every contribution, every person who gets involved makes a difference. And one of the things that I thought you might be interested in, it, since you've been listening to my program, is you might find, from the standpoint of a very enjoyable and rather interesting, actually more than rather, a very interesting book, Al Franken's Giant of the Senate. He's been a senator for about 8 years. He was on Saturday Night Live for a number of years, both as a writer as well as a performer. He's a very funny man. His book is terrific. I happened to buy it recently, and I think you might find it very interesting. If you want to pledge $120 to the station and would like the book, the station will send it to you. Anything else, Joanne, at this point?
Well, we've got some good news and some bad news.
Uh-oh.
The good news is we are halfway to reaching our goal for this hour of your legal rights. The bad news is we need three more of you to reach goal at 800-525-9917 or online kalw.org. Thanks very much to Sheldon and Rose Rosenthal from San Francisco, and thanks to Atar Khalsa from San Francisco. They went online and contributed at kalw.org, kalw.org. Join these good folks and show your support for your legal rights. 800-525-9917 or online kalw.org.
We really need you to consider the importance that it is to the station to have you as a contributor, to have you as a part of the station, this non-commercial station. So please drop your fork or whatever you're doing right now. Hit the phone, 1-800-525-9917, or go to the computer, www.klw.org, and click on donate. All right, let's go back now. We've got Patsy. Patsy, welcome to your legal rights.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. You're on, Patsy.
I was calling because our landlord tells me that he is required by law to have the heat on in our apartment building 365 days a year for 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours at night. We live on the top floor, and when it's really hot, like it was last week, I almost had heat stroke.
Oh, that's terrible.
And in the wintertime, on those rare times when it goes down for a week or so to near freezing here, we still get heat only 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours at night. And I was just wondering, is that really a law in San Francisco?
Sal?
Yes, it is. How big is the building?
About 16 apartments.
Okay, yeah. You can call the city and confirm it. You can even ask the landlord to give you the authority that he's using for doing that. The landlord would probably turn the heat off and save some money if it weren't required to keep it on.
Sure, of course.
But that last week was extremely hot, and it seems like, I imagine it's on a thermostat, right?
Isn't
it on
a thermostat? No, no control whatsoever.
Okay, maybe there's a thermostat. I imagine there's got to be a thermostat in the building, but I don't know. Because if the heat's coming on and on top of the heat that's already being generated by the environment, it could be pretty brutal.
It is brutal.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with any system that's in place to handle that. But I know that some buildings, depending on their size, and I believe 16 is in that range, what kind of heater is it? Is it the old style?
He calls it a boiler.
A boiler. Okay, yeah. Then what do you have in your apartment? Is it air or is it a radiator?
It's a radiator, but you can't turn it off or on.
You cannot.
Right.
I'm wondering this, Sal and Jessica. I'm wondering, with a situation like this where it was so hot in recent days, and the landlord is not going to stop the heat, if contacting the health department for the city might make a difference.
You know, Chuck, it might, but I don't know they can move that fast.
Yeah,
and these things are on timers, and it's difficult. It's a tough situation. I think you got to start with calling the city and talking to somebody at the health department about this.
Why don't you do that? My thought, Patsy, on this is, why don't you call the San Francisco Health Department, tell them what you've told us on the air, and see if they have some thoughts for you. Because, frankly, in a situation like this, where this is so bizarre, the heat that we had, for a landlord not to realize, hey, I got to do something about this for the protection of my tenants, it doesn't make sense. And maybe the landlord is worried that if he were to stop the heat, that he could be, let's say, sued by the city or something like that. But that's what I would suggest you do. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, Patsy, thanks for calling. We're going to take another call, and it's Will. Pardon me, Jesse. No, okay. William, welcome to the program. William is calling from
Belvedere.
Belvedere.
Okay. I'm neither a tenant nor a landlord, but I had a question, and the screener felt it would be appropriate. I asked whether he felt it would. He said yes, it would. It's this: in Marin County, there's no rent control, and the rents tend to be very high, as you may be aware, for renters. The Board of Supervisors was considering whether to have a rent control, and they decided not. What they're contemplating is something called compulsory mediation, which doesn't make sense to me, but I was curious. What it would be is, if there was more than a 15% rent increase, then the landlord and the tenant would be required to undergo mediation.
Mm-hmm.
But not arbitration, but mediation, and nothing compulsory would be required to come out of it, if you understand what I mean.
That's correct.
They would both have to agree that the rent increase was too much or something. And it seems so strange to me to imagine that that would be helpful, because there is no required outcome, that the landlord, why would the landlord possibly, they might go through the motions, but why would they decide not to increase the rent as much as they had wanted to? Whether the guests were aware of any places where that approach had been used, and if so, what the results had been.
Okay. I have not participated in any mediations to set rent. The only you know, I can't say the only reason, but it seems one benefit that could come out of that is that if they're required to mediate, the landlords are going to be they're going to not want to do it. So they'll probably keep the rent a little lower than they otherwise would if they're required to mediate.
Yeah.
Mediations are usually private. So
no, the county has a mediation service, so it wouldn't necessarily cost anything. But I'm saying there's no required outcome. So you understand? I mean, it isn't like that the mediator then says, okay, well, I think that's a little high, so maybe only increase it 5%. It's just that they're required to go through the process.
Yes.
And I can't, and I couldn't imagine that would work, but I thought, gee whiz, perhaps it does work. And so I just wanted to know whether either of the guests knew of any place where that had been applied.
I do not.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I
Jessica?
No, I don't know of anywhere that's had compulsory mediation rent increase of 15% or more. Hayward has compulsory mediation for certain things, but not for rent raises.
Yeah.
And I don't practice in Hayward on a general basis, so I don't know precisely how that works. I have had mediations where we discussed the rent and came out with a different rent than we had going in.
But is it ever required, for instance, that if the mediator says, well, you know, that seems kind of high, that the landlord would be required to say, oh, okay, I agree with you? Or is it just that the landlord says, no, I want that amount of rent, that it's just sort of a pro forma exercise?
We are nearly out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You're fine. Let me just mention something, William. The San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service also has a mediation program that covers the lawyer referral from San Francisco also covers Marin County. I think it might be wise for you to call the Lawyer Referral Service for San Francisco.
No, I'm not having any problem. I've had my home for 50 years.
Yeah.
But it just didn't make sense to me that unless there was some sort of requirement that the mediator gets to set what happens, that such a process would be useful. That's all.
We are just about out of time.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. I do suggest that you call Lawyer Referral for San Francisco because it also covers Marin County. 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. And see what you can do there, frankly. I want to thank both of you very much for joining us on the program.
Oh, you're welcome,
here.
Always, you're welcome.
Jessica Chylik and Salvatore Timpano, they have respective offices in San Francisco, both very fine attorneys and great friends of this station and my radio program. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
Next time on Your Legal Rights, with our people suffering damage, the overwhelming damage caused by the hurricanes and the ongoing fires in our country. Our topic next time on Your Legal Rights will be hazards insurance and crisis and risk management for floods, fires, and other hazards. My guest will be Pat Devlin, a business and real estate attorney, and I would hope that you would join us for this. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer and production assistant Martin McClain. Funding for this segment has been made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy. Thanks for listening to Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney. Well,